Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Independence Day is coming up this Friday, and along with beer, barbecues, and fireworks come expressions of patriotism and perhaps gratitude to those who serve or who have served in the armed forces.
But less than 1% of Americans have military experience, so there's often a big disconnect between returning veterans and the rest of society. And sometimes talking to veterans, especially those who have just returned from places like Iraq and Afghanistan, leads to some difficult or awkward questions.
Questions like, did you kill anyone? Or do you have PTSD? Or thank you for your service, but let me tell you about my political views.
These are three things on a list of what not to say to a veteran compiled by Dr. Paula Rausch and Tommy Furlong, who wrote recently about this on WBUR's Common Health blog. It received a lot of response.
Paula Rausch is program director of the Family Team for the Red Sox Foundation and Mass General Hospital's home base program, which helps vets and their families. And welcome to the program, Paula Rausch. Good to have you.
Thank you.
And Tommy Furlong is Associate Director of Outreach for the Red Sox Foundation and the Home Base Program. He's also a former U.S. Marine Corps infantryman who served in Afghanistan. And Tommy Furlong, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you both for being in here. So, Paula, let me start with you. I'm going to ask you both the same question. I'll just start with you, Paula. What made you want to write this piece? What's going on out there that inspired you to do this?
I just think so many Americans haven't had the chance to learn from military families and service members, and I feel like the conversations are kind of stilted and uncomfortable. I feel like we're doing a much better job than we did back in the Vietnam days when, sadly, so many of our service members returned to real hostility. Mm-hmm. I think many Americans have the idea that they can say thank you for your service, but then they're not too sure where to go from there. So this is kind of an open invitation.
Right. And Tommy, I mean, I'm interested. You're involved in the home base program in a big way. You're also a vet. So why did you think it was important to write about this?
Well, I was being asked a lot of these questions.
Sure.
And actually, Paul and I had discussed this probably about 2 years ago. We were talking about different questions we're being asked. And as I started to really think about the answers to these questions and talking to other veterans who have answered these questions, I think, you know, this conversation needed to be had. Have you ever killed anyone? Do you have PTSD? The answer is going to be different for a lot of veterans, but I just think asking the question in the first place, we should know what the responses are to those questions and, just being honest with people.
Sure. And listeners, we're going to talk about some of these questions. And by the way, you can find a link to the Common Health piece that Tommy Furlong and Paula Rausch wrote, Five Things Not to Say to a Veteran. That's at radioboston.org. And we want to invite you into this conversation, particularly if you're a veteran like Tommy, family, friends of veterans. We want to hear from you. What do people say to you that makes you cringe? What should civilians be asking veterans instead? What do civilians need to understand about what it's like to be a returning veteran? You can join the conversation at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And Paula Rausch, I think one of those questions that I just asked, and I want to get to some of the specific things that you and Tommy wrote about here, but it seems like at the heart of this is this idea that around this disconnect between the very small percentage of Americans that are actually serving in uniform and the vast majority who are not, so that there's sort of this disconnect that we need to bridge here.
Yeah, I think people need to check their assumptions at the door, especially here in New England where we don't have big installations. People often feel like they don't have experience with veterans, and so they're free to make assumptions and clearly to make assumptions about combat experience as if a combat experience would be like a video game or something you'd see on TV.
Yeah. And this question, and honestly, to see it written down, it sort of shocks me that apparently this question does get asked as often as it does, Tommy. This question, did you kill someone while you were over there? This is really out there. I mean, this happens. And what's the response? I mean, why is that an inappropriate question? I feel I understand why it is. I want to know it from a veteran's point of view.
Sure, sure. Well, I feel like everybody kind of has that, the morbid curiosity.
Yeah.
You drive by the accident, you slow down, you turn your head. You hope you don't see anything, but a little piece of you kind of hopes you do see something, you know, see a little bit of action. But I think the question itself, when I first came home, was asked by spoken in elementary school, and that was the first time I was asked it, and I was expecting that question. But even in rehearsing my answer, when I was actually asked a question, I you know, kind of took a pause, said, wow, really, how do I want to answer this question? Yeah. And I started asking myself, all right, well, anybody who's going to ask me anything personal or something very much in depth, like have you ever killed anybody, I would respond with that question. I was very open about my experiences, but asking them first, are you going to be comfortable with the answer that I give you? And if so, then I'll be more than happy to have this conversation with you.
Mean the
but
idea,
it's not an easy yes or no answer.
Yeah. And the idea there, are you going to be comfortable with it, meaning you, there's a lot you need to understand about the experience that you had before you can really take in the answer to that question.
Sure, yeah. Sure. And yeah. If the answer is yes, are you going to be comfortable with it? I know deep down you want to know, but do you really want to know?
Yeah. Paul Arauch, say a little bit more about this question and sort of your thinking about it and the way it is, why it is asked of veterans.
I think the way it's asked, I'll tell you something interesting. You know, we have a patient and family advisory board for our home-based program. And when I was talking with that group, as people were arriving the other evening, and I said I wanted to write something about what not to say to a veteran along with Tommy, and each person as they came in, when I told them the title, the first thing they said is, can you tell people to stop asking?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you kill someone? So I think it's is a question that if the answer is yes, or if the answer is I've seen people killed, and disproportionately people that serve in Iraq and Afghanistan have seen a lot of violence, the response to that is not with the sort of upbeat voice in which the question is asked. It's not a happy thing. It's an extremely complicated thing. But it's sort of asked on the fly as if there'd be a yes-no response and the conversation would be over. And I think one of the things that Tommy has said is ask about asking. If you're going to ask something intrusive, and this is really personal and intrusive and high emotion, ask before you ask. Is this something that someone wants to
share? Is this something you want to talk about?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to just tick down a couple of these other questions on this list because some of them are really interesting. Here's one, number one. I can't understand why anyone would join the military, right? So this is something you encounter, Tommy?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The answer to that is it depends on the person.
Sure.
You know, there are a lot of different reasons to join the military. I think for many of us, you know, it is that serving, you know, this something much bigger than us, or you know, fighting for your country, whatever it may be. But in reality, there are a lot of different answers to that. Family traditions, ways out of, you know, difficult situations, the benefits, which are very good. It's oftentimes a very good transition from different classes, you know, lower class to middle class, you know, just having those college benefits, things like that, are a big drive to join the military. And it's a good reason to.
Paula, how could you leave your children? And you say female veterans probably hear this a lot more, but the judgment that loving parents don't stay in the military sneaks into comments made to male veterans as well. But this sounds incredibly, again, like a real blunder and obviously offensive to folks.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a question. It's a very thinly veiled criticism that the assumption is I, the asker, I wouldn't leave my children, but you people over there, you would leave your child because you don't care enough about them. When in actual fact, many of the people that serve do so because the security of military service and the benefits are going to benefit their families. It often keeps people in the service, keeps people in the National Guard and Reserve, recognizing the ways in which their service are going to support their children. And much more we would, particularly, I come at this from the family vantage point, and how difficult is that for a child to be hearing that message from other people's parents or other kids' parents or teachers? It's a terrible assumption, and it's so far from true. Military parents, like most American parents, because they are American parents, adore their kids.
Listeners, we're talking about what to say to returning veterans, what not to say to returning veterans. Tommy Furlong, he's a former U.S. Marine Corps infantryman who served in Afghanistan, and he is an associate director of outreach for the Red Sox Foundation and Mass General Hospital's home base program. Also, Dr. Paula Rausch, program director of the family team for the Red Sox Foundation and Mass General Hospital's home base program. Together, they wrote a common health piece, Five Things Not to Say to a Veteran. You can find that at radioboston.org. What do you think, particularly if you're a veteran, what do you think? What do you want to hear from people? What questions don't you want to hear from people? Give us a question. Give us a call at 800-423-8255. There's another piece that in the piece that you wrote, and the way you couch it is, thank you for your service, but insert political belief here. So where does that lead, Tommy? So people want to sort of say, yeah, I'm grateful, but I need to tell you what I sort of think politically about the whole war effort, as if maybe you're responsible for it.
Sure. And if we have a political opinion in the first place, which we may not, a lot of veterans just serve, and they know it's their job to go where their country sends them, and that's where they leave it. But yes, there is this this assumption that, oh, I'm going to ask you about your service, but in return, I'm going to tell you my opinions on the service and how I feel politically. Yeah. When, you know, many veterans just, you know, or at least I don't really want to have that conversation a lot. Or if I do, it needs to be, you know, the right setting, the right time.
Sure.
If I'm kicking back and, trying to have a beer or have a good time. You know, in a bar or something, maybe that's not the right time to ask this question.
Right. You don't want to be the lightning rod necessarily for the whole sort of political debate around why we deploy troops to a particular part of the world, for example.
Sure, and oftentimes it's a much more complicated answer than we make it out to be. This yes, I believe in it. No, I don't. There's a middle ground there always.
And what about in general, this question of thank you for your service? It seems well-intentioned. We hear it all the time on the political stump. No politician, it seems, worth his or her salt can be there without thanking veterans for their service. But I was doing some reading for this segment, and it seems like a lot of veterans say, you know, you don't have to say that. And it doesn't sound like, I don't know, it almost doesn't sound authentic in that context. Yeah. I'm wondering what your view of it is.
Personally, yeah, I feel like the genuineness of it has been removed. It's now something you feel like you just have to say. Where if you don't want to say it, don't say it. A lot of veterans do have a negative response to that. A very close friend of mine doesn't like that having been said to them. The last time someone asked them that, they asked them what they were thanking them for. Well, yeah. How has my service affected you? You tell me why you're thanking me. And they didn't have an answer to it. And I think before you make that statement, before you kind of cross that line, why are you saying it in the first place? And I think just couching it in that realm might change your mind on whether you ask a question or not.
Here is a we've got a tweet from Darienzo Pena, who tweeted us and said, USMC vet, and these questions get asked of me all the time, and I blow off the question and change the direction of the conversation. Paula Rausch, is that a typical approach? Do you recommend that?
I think it's a good choice for a lot of people. You know, when someone asks you an intrusive question, even before you say anything, unless you have kind of your default comment to deflect it, you're going to take that question in, and it's going to disrupt you. You're going to think about it. How do I really feel about that? It creates a kind of emotional tumult. When people sort of practice just saying, I don't want to talk about this, or getting used to deflecting it, maybe then it's not going to be as disturbing to them. Mm. When, as Tommy described, they're sitting someplace where they're having a good time, this is not the conversation they want to be having.
Let's take a call. Rick is calling from Kingston, New Hampshire. Hi, Rick. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much. I was just calling because I sort of am not very happy with the idea that I can't ask a vet any question I want. I mean, it seems like, you know, when you say that, you're giving a veteran a special status where you can't question, you know, you're basically saying you can't question what you're doing, what you've done, what are the motivations for that action. Not necessarily to that particular person, but to the whole community, and they get this special status, and I don't think it's right.
Well, Rick, I'm glad to have your point of view on the show. Tommy Furlong, respond to Rick. What do you think?
I think that's fine. If you want to ask the question, go ahead. I just don't think that you may be happy with the answer you get. And oftentimes it's picking the right time to ask those questions. If you ask someone if you've ever killed anybody, okay, you can ask that question. I'm fine answering that question for you. But it's a little bit deeper than just the question of have you ever killed anybody. I know whether I have or not, and oftentimes that question is going to bring up, so you're not going to go up to a police officer and have the first question you ask them be, have you ever killed anybody?
Sure.
You know, it's just respecting the boundaries there. But if you know a veteran and you want to get into that conversation, I mean, there's no reason not to.
Yeah. Rick, thanks for the call. Paula Rausch, I'd like to sort of ask you a sort of general question that maybe we can sort of focus a little bit. But I get the sense that sometimes these questions that seem inappropriate get asked because people don't know what they should ask, you know, to sort of engage with someone who's done obviously difficult and challenging and interesting work. So what should we be saying? How should we be helping folks transition back and engaging with them?
It's such a good point. So those that serve have done all kinds of different jobs in the military, and they're interesting jobs. They've often lived in many different countries. There are so many questions that involve really being curious about someone's experience and acknowledging that you haven't been in their shoes. I think most good conversations come when someone feels like they have something to learn from the person they're talking to. The questions that we put in the what not to say really aren't questions that people are asking wanting to hear an answer. They're conversation stoppers, not conversation starters. Mm. And so what you find in the second part of that article really is how do you ask questions like you want to hear what the other person has to say?
Interesting. Tommy, same question to you. What do you want? I mean, when you got back and were sort of encountering this, what did you want people to ask you with regard to your experience?
Personally, I when I first got back, I wanted to be left alone about it. My military experience was very personal to me. I had a very unique experience along with all the Marines and Navy personnel that I served with. And I felt like that was for me to think about, for me to reflect on. And it wasn't anybody else's experience but mine. And I think that boundary needs to be respected as well.
So it sounded like you needed some time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And people, you know, sometimes do need time. And now I feel very open about my experiences. And if I do get asked those questions, I'm oftentimes going to provide you with an answer that you don't want to hear. And exactly what Dr. Rausch is saying is they're conversation stoppers and not starters.
All right. Well, that's Tommy Furlong. He's an associate director of outreach for the Red Sox Foundation at MGH's Home Base Program. He's also a former U.S. Marine Corps infantryman who served in Afghanistan. Thank you so much for coming in, Tommy. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Dr. Paula Rausch is program director of the family team for the Red Sox Foundation and Mass General Hospital's Home Base Program. Thank you, Dr. Rausch.
Thank you so much.
And listeners, you can see Paula Rausch's and Tommy Furlong's Common Health piece, Did You Ever Kill Anyone? 5 Things Not to Say to a Veteran, at radioboston.org. Stay with us. A lot more to come. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.